This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Catherine Cruz. Did you know allergies are on the rise across the country, including here in the island? Well, today wraps up Food Allergy Awareness Week, and to those with allergies, you know, reading labels is vital to their well-being. We talk with Lisa Gable, Executive Director of a group called FAIR, Food Allergy Research and Education, about the statistics for Hawaii.
FAIR has reported through the work that was done by Ruchi Gupta, who's a doctor at Lurie Northwestern Hospital, that the rise in food allergies has now reached 32 million Americans. So it's an unbelievable number of people. We've seen the rise of the disease since the late 1990s, and originally thought happening amongst children, but now we're actually seeing late onset for adults, which basically means that an adult who's been eating a food their entire life all of a sudden has a life-threatening allergic reaction to that food.
So really, this is kind of a serious public health issue.
It is, and I think that it's underestimated because the patient looks healthy, right? And until someone actually suffers anaphylaxis, you would not look at someone and say, oh, there's something that they're struggling with from a disease standpoint. That makes it a bit challenging for us, and one reason we're so pleased to be on this show today to ensure that people are aware that this is a life-threatening food allergy, and when people make requests about their food, it is because of the seriousness of the disease.
Now, what about the numbers for Hawaii? What can you share with us?
Sure. So in Hawaii, basically what we've got is that we did a support study that looked at state-by-state health data and severe food allergy reactions, and we saw that they climbed dramatically. And then what we started to do was look at private insurance claims with the diagnosis of anaphylactic food reactions in the state of Hawaii and saw that it rose 205% from 2007 to 2016. What's interesting is that Hawaii is not an outlier in our study, but rather it's one of many states that have seen the staggering increase in anaphylactic food allergy diagnosis and recent years.
I saw the numbers. I mean, that's crazy.
205% increase. It is. It's stunning. And nationwide, it's 377% increase during the same period of time. And so there are a number of states that have seen this rise. In Hawaii's case, what we're finding is that the top foods that were causing anaphylactic reactions were tree nuts and seeds, peanuts, fish, and shellfish, or crustaceans. So that's where Hawaii is going, and other states are seeing a rise in other types of food categories.
Now, we love our fish out here. Love, love, love it. So that's,
I know.
That's,
I love your fish when I've come out to Hawaii, too. And
yes.
So it's frightening that the thing that you love the most and that's so critical to the daily diet is something that a number of people in the state have to avoid.
So what do you think's going on here? What can we glean from this information?
Well, what's a bit frightening about it is we actually don't know what's causing the rise of the disease. We can look at some things that scientists have identified as being things that may be causing it. One is that we told parents back in the late 90s not to feed their child the foods that were of the top eight allergens. And based on a study that's called the LEAP study by FAIR, what we've actually discovered is that you are better off serving the allergens to the child at the point that they're taking in solid foods so that they are able to desensitize themselves to any type of reaction. One of the other theories is what we call the hygiene theory, and that is that we're a very clean environment right now. And so where in the past children may have been exposed to more dirt or more germs, there's that process if you drop the pacifier, drop the lollipop, and the kid puts it back in their mouth, let it stay there because we actually need that child to start developing tolerances to germs and not be so clean. And then there's an issue about what we call the skin barrier breach. And that's where when people who have eczema have a tendency to have a higher number of allergies. You know, there are actually 9 allergens that are life-threatening. And I won't go through the whole list right now, but we're talking about people having allergic reactions to soy and dairy and eggs and wheat. Also, sesame has become something that we actually want the federal government to identify as an allergen because we now know that there are a couple hundred thousand patients, possibly even as high as 600,000 to 700,000, who are now having anaphylactic reactions to sesame. And so we actually have 9 different allergens that are as severe But how they are demonstrated in the individual, because the anaphylactic shock is that two systems shut down, but it's different in each person. And it's not as if the fact that you have, you know, a peanut allergy or a shellfish allergy, that you're going to have your anaphylaxis in the same way that someone else will. In addition, you have a different threshold. And so for some people, it might be that they have one bite and they instantaneously go into anaphylaxis. Someone else, it might be after a few bites. So there are a lot of variables in this disease. We have wonderful scientists who are doing research on it, and FAIR is actually committed to a $200 million fundraising and awareness campaign that will allow us to drive dollars into research to help solve the problem. We had a conference called our FAIR conference with Teen Summit as part of that, and I think we had 100 different allergens represented in the room. And so you have what are called the top 8 allergens. Again, we're trying to add sesame and make it the top 9 allergens, which have the highest number of people that are having severe allergic reactions. And immediately once that is identified by the FDA, then labeling laws kick in, and they actually have to identify the allergen within the food so that no one is accidentally consuming that food. But we also know that there are far more allergic reactions that are unique to the individual. It's interesting, if you look at the allergens, they are proteins. And there are certain characteristics of each of those proteins that the scientists feel may be causing these types of reactions. But they are really looking at a wide variety of causes and trying to determine what's next. And so it's just important for people to be diligent and make sure that they have an EpiPen, and if they go into anaphylaxis, that they call 911 and Epi first and then call 911.
Yes, because that is the lifesaver, the EpiPens.
And the reaction can be very, very swift. And so you really need to administer it as quickly as possible and then get yourself to the emergency room.
And what about the cost of EpiPens? Because I know that was an issue, I think it was last year.
Sure. The cost has been an issue and one that obviously has had great concern for the community. At one point, it was about 2 or 3 years ago that the price point shot up quite considerably, and there was not at that time much competition in the marketplace. Where we are today is that over the last year, there's actually been a shortage in epinephrine auto-injectors from one particular supplier. But the good news is that also during the past year, the FDA did something that we call fast tracking. And that means that there were alternatives that were coming into market, and they approved them very rapidly because they knew that patients, if they couldn't have a sole source, and if there's a shortage of that source, and then that obviously has dire consequences. So we are seeing more entrants into the marketplace, and with this more entrants, availability is not as challenging. Yet at the same time, if someone is going to their major pharmacy and they're not able to get their prescription refilled, then what we tell them is that they should start looking at family pharmacies and smaller pharmacies in the area that sometimes will have the refill available. Secondarily, as we encourage them to go on the FAIR website, and there's some instructions there as to how to help yourself if you're running into a shortage.
What else can we tell our listeners? What other resources are out there?
Sure. Well, if you can come to foodallergy.org, that is the FAIR website. And so on that website, we have information about how to live your life with food allergies, the research programs that are underway. We have a program or a packet that is online that is for the newly diagnosed. And so when someone like your daughter goes to the doctor and all of a sudden discovers that they have an allergy, what are the precautions that they need to take? And then also there's the advocacy end. We really need patients, and we need friends and family of patients to advocate on their behalf. So today I have my team on Capitol Hill. It's still daytime here in Washington, D.C., in the New York area, and we've got a team on Capitol Hill who are advocating for what's called the FASTER Act. And the FASTER Act is actually looking at making sure that sesame is added as an allergen, and it's also looking at trying to get more prevalence data so that we can help the government understand the needs of this community and what we need to do in order to ensure that therapies can come to market quickly to service the community. So we encourage you to go on to foodallergy.org.
Well, I know we do have a large Asian population out here, and they love sesame, too. It's just interesting to see what's happening, you know, across the country.
It is. And, you know, part of it is I used to work in the consumer product goods category. And one of the reasons why we might see these new advents of reactions happening is that there are new trends in the marketplace. And so as we look at sesame, you know, it's more available today because you have hummus and you have spice mixes and things like that. That's probably one reason we're seeing the rise is where actually it's a greater availability. It's become more of a staple of our diet. And I would also warn people about plant-based diets because these meatless products or when you see natural flavorings, you have to remember that in some cases they're replacing the chemical or the meat with a protein that may be an allergen. And so it's very important for people to read the labels. If you're unclear what the labels tells you, there are actually numbers that you can call at companies to find out what's exactly in that product to make sure that you're safe.
And is there anything more we need to know about seasonal allergies?
Seasonal allergies aren't really something that FAIR deals with as much. We really focus on those foods that are ingested that cause anaphylaxis. And so that's the category that we're involved with. But at the same time, we do know that people with asthma and other types of allergies may also be experiencing more difficulties, and there could be a correlation. But we are focused on food allergies. I mean, if you feel that you have an allergy, you need to talk to your doctor, and we really encourage people to see an allergist with the medical credentials to go in and be tested and make sure that you understand the severity of your disease and what you need to do in order to protect yourself. You know, we hope to get the congressional leaders from the state of Hawaii involved in co-sponsoring this legislation. Mm. We have a program called Contains Courage, and so when people go to our website, we actually give them a way to tell their story so that we can amplify the story even more. It can become real to people, and people who don't have the disease can actually understand a little bit more about it through the stories of the individuals who have the disease.
We have been talking with Lisa Gable of FAIR, Food Allergy Research and Education. For links about the research and their campaign, Contains Courage, check out our website, hawaiipublicradio.org.